Amen. If you all stand with me, we'll open our service with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we truly are thankful to be in your house this morning, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would open your word to us, Father, that it may live in our hearts, Father, in our lives, and be an expression of who you are in this time, Father. Pray, Lord, that you would just be with us in this congregation, those that are tuned in, Father. May you be with their portion, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. Don't get scared. There's 25 pages, so and four more than last time. I'm going to try to read just a smidgen faster. My subject, I was going to continue what I had told you guys I was going to try to study, but then I got sidetracked just a little bit. And so I want to go over this before we move on to what the church's position is. And today I'd like to talk about carnality versus spiritual. And Brother Branham talks a lot about this. So in Romans 8, 1 through 11, Paul speaking, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh," meaning it was works prior to, you know, Christ dying on the cross. You had rules and laws and things that you had to specifically follow and do. And that's the same thing now. It's just there's grace that covers our mistakes. Amen. "God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh." He wasn't sinful. He was just in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was the perfect sacrifice. Amen. "And for sin condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And that's kind of my subject today. "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." So works, you cannot work your way to heaven. "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Brother Branham from God, "Does God ever change his mind about his word?" Now on this, and you people out there in the telephones, I want to first say that I do not wish to be critical, and I hope I'm not. But the message that's been given me, I must be faithful to that message, or I'll be a hypocrite. See, can't say no more than what I am saying, am sent to say. And I am thinking that the great enemy of the Christian society today is the organized churches. I do believe that with all my heart that it'll finally form into the mark of the beast, which I can prove that by the Bible and God's help. And then Brother Branham says in the next line, "I have already done it." So prior to these services, Brother Branham already outlined that it will form into the mark of the beast, into the federation of churches, because God never did at any time ever recognize an ordained church, organized church, never. He never did do it. And every time that man made an organization, the Spirit of God left it, and it never did return again. Ask any historian, or you may be a reader yourself, when they organized. God laid it on the shelf, and that's where it went. It stayed from then on. They grew into members, but never awakening of the Spirit, never, no more. Moab here is a type of the church because they were an organized nation in their own land, like in their denomination. And there they had their own religions, and their religion was the same religion that Israel had. They were the same church. They fellowshiped together. They were Moabites and believed in Jehovah God. But they was an organized group of people. And now as they represent the natural church, Israel represents the spiritual church in its journey. Now, Israel was not an organized nation. As long as they followed God, they were independent. They came up, sojourned, no place to go. Wherever the pillar of fire went, they went with it. They were not an organized nation. They had an organism among them because circumcision gave them that under the commandment by God, but never an organized nation at this time. When they finally became an organized nation, that's where they fell and rejected their Messiah. And now we find always that when these natural and spiritual spirits of the church and organizations meet, there is always a clash. It never failed to be so. It's always clashed because we find that in there is a jealousy. And there is this jealousy. It causes carnal impersonations and comparisons. We find it in today as it was then. When God does something for an individual, everybody tries to copy just like God did for that person. See, because a competition, and it makes carnality. And then if they cannot, the other side, get the spiritual results, then they take it by political power. And that's where Nicolaitism comes in. So if they can't do it by God's way in a spiritual result, then they'll come in, they'll start organizing. You know, they'll start, you know, this and that, and you got to do this and you got to do that. That ain't how God has ever worked. Or they substitute something to upset the people's mind. So if you cause a conflict or, you know, say something specifically and don't put the comma in there, you know, then this brother flares up and that brother flares up, or, you know, then it's a battle. Well, then all that does is it's drawing disciples after themselves. That's exactly what took place at the beginning as Cain and Abel, both boys here on earth. When Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and God vindicated Abel by coming down and receiving his sacrifice, it caused jealousy with Cain because he was jealous of his brother and then slew his brother. It started at the beginning that when the natural and the spiritual, yet Cain and Abel worshiped the same God. They both built the same kind of altars. They both worshiped the same God at the same church, the same altar. But Cain, by carnal reasoning, brought in fruits. What is he talking about? Works. The fruits are works. It says so in John 14, 16 and a bunch of other places. The fruits of the land, and laid them upon the altar as a sacrifice, thinking that surely this would answer to God for an atonement. So he must have brought in, as people think today, apples that Adam and Eve took that caused the sin or whatever. I think now they got it down to a pomegranate or something now. Some of them said not long ago it was something else. But Abel had the right sacrifice. He knew that it was blood that did it. So he brought a lamb. And when God received his, now Abel by faith, revelation, no other way, there was no Bible written. Amen? That's what God wants now, is for you to be able to read his word and to be able to read the prophet's message. And it's only by revelation. It's not a secret and it's not hard. You just got to become as a child. So you see, the beginning of righteousness is God's revealed truth. And the entire church of the living God is built upon that. And from 55, Water from the Rock, Brother Branham says that that's what's the matter with the church tonight. It ain't got no leaves for the healing of nations. It's sick and out of water because become thorns sticking one another because you don't belong to a certain organization. Stickery. Pour on the water, that's what you need, the Holy Spirit. Grumbling, carnality, cut off their water supply. Would you imagine a people that left the muddy waters of Egypt to drink from the spiritual rock and was still complaining? They had more. Could you imagine leaving the flesh pots and the garlic in Egypt to eat angels' food and they were still complaining? Can you imagine that? Leaving the boasting physicians of Egypt saying the days of miracles is past, there is no such thing as miracles anymore, and then go to be with the people who believe in the signs following, with a sign of a king in the camp and great wonders and signs, a pillar of fire hanging over them, the blessings falling, spiritual manna out of heaven, and still grumbling, insulting their maker. Oh, what a time. God, still in his mercy, still merciful, said, Moses, go out and speak to the rock and bring them some water. They have forgotten all the miracles that happened last month. They forgot how I opened the Red Sea. And from an uncertain sound, Brother Branham says, they shall speak with new tongues. I don't mean the uncertain sound now. They speak with knowledge and revelation. And they have the real gift of speaking in tongues. Shall we read that again? So what is speaking in tongues? Speaking with knowledge and speaking with revelation. That's what they come out of the upper room with. They had a revelation of who Jesus Christ was. They actually had a part of him too. There is something that takes place when they do. That's no uncertain sound. That's no sound of unbelief, not at all. If it is a lot of carrying on, like we see a lot of times, that's unbelief. But when you speak with words, with interpretation, with revelation, hallelujah, that's the gospel bell tallowing. It's no uncertain sound, amen? If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. That's no uncertain sound. You dear people, belong to the Church of Christ back there. You say, that's of the devil. It is? Then the Bible is of the devil. The Bible said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. No, that's not an uncertain sound. Be careful. You hear a lot of church theology. It's uncertain sounds. It don't co with the Bible. Paul said, if the trumpet don't give a certain sound, how can we know who it is? Prepare for the battle. Yes, sir. Oh, my. Jesus said, these things that I do, shall you do also. Even greater, for I go to my Father. There's no uncertain sound, not a thing. Peter said on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:38, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's no uncertain sound. There wasn't a place in the Bible anywhere from Genesis to Revelations where God ever sprinkled a person. That's an uncertain sound. There never was a place where anybody was baptized any other way than in the name of Jesus Christ. Anything contrary is an uncertain sound. Read the Bible. That's what the gospel is made out of. This is the seed. This seed will bear its fruit. Woo, kind of warm, isn't it? But it's good. But the kind of fire we need is the Holy Ghost and fire to burn carnality and church anti out of us, to get us back to sons and daughters of God, where this mental theology and what you learn in a seminary out here and so forth will pass away. God can get it into your heart. That's what counts. And from a blushing prophet, Brother Branham says, and all of our joining church and getting a better class has come to nonsense. And it did in that day, and it will this, bring us back to God, not with an injection of education, not with an injection of religious reformation, not in the injection of some kind of man-made theology, but an old-fashioned baptism of the Holy Ghost sent down from God, out of heaven, in a Pentecostal experience of burning out the carnality and replacing it in there, the jewel that God intended to be in there, a son and daughter of God. Till we do that, brothers and sisters, we still have bobbed hair, makeup on sexy looking women, and men drinking, smoking, and calling themselves Christians because they don't know no better. In their heart, that very root of carnality lays there, and we need a church cleaning up from the basement to the pulpit. Amen, and that's right. kind of like the example Brother Brian used this morning, which I'm going to have to steal and put somewhere so I don't forget it. I like that. There's a black circle with a small white dot, or there's a white circle with a small black dot. It isn't all the stuff around it. It's the seed. It's the root. That is what the true life of the person is, and it will manifest itself. And from 57, God keeps his word, Brother Bram says, now, not like in some of our modern meetings, a bunch of carrying on where there was nothing could be understood, but they heard them in their own language wherein they were born. Notice, every man in his own language wherein he was born. They were listening. They said, isn't this marvelous? See? And the other mocked and said, ha ha, look at them. They're just so drunk they don't even know what they're doing. They were reeling and staggering like drunk men under the mighty impact of the mighty God. The great unction, which means in the Greek word dynamite, where in their soul they had blowed out the roots of carnality and the Holy Spirit had settled in their heart, there they was, and others were mocking. And from 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 7, Paul speaking, now I, Paul, myself beseech you that by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in the presence am based among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. So after the day of Pentecost, I'm sure there was a lot of things that made people just think, you know, these people are just crazy. So Paul is trying to tell you here that, you know, that straighten up, and he does later on. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to be to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. And from speak to the rock and it shall give forth water, Brother Branham says, carnality had cut off the spiritual supply. Carnality had cut off all their joy. They began murmuring and fussing. They took them off into the desert. If anything I hate is a desert, it's hot. I'm right with him. There's nothing hardly can live there, and everything that you get against in the desert gets stickers on it. Every kind of little old vine's got stickers on it. You know why? It's because there's no water there. Now, if that same little plant grew up in my country or up in the country that's got rain on it, that little plant would not be a sticker. That little sticker would unfold and it would become a nice tender leaf. Then it comes into a watered place. That's what's the matter with the church. The reason they fuss and quarrel and stew in so-called Christians because they've been bypassed from the land of blessing, from the fountain that never runs dry, and from the rock in the weary land. And they have become dry and carnal. They want to stick and say, the days of miracles is past. That's a bunch of holy rollers. No such thing as that. Oh, just let them come to the water one time. They just unfold and get tender and sweet, kind and humble. Something takes place when you put them in the water. I don't know why, but it happens that way. Oh, carnality had cut them off. All right, got a couple good ones here from the Church Age book. And this is the judgment. Revelations 3:3. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. I want to read another translation from the WUS of this verse. Be remembering, therefore, in that way you have received the truth as a permanent deposit, and what way you heard it, and be safeguarding it, and have a change of mind at once. It is very evident from this verse that God has given them truth as a permanent deposit. What is their token, the deposit that we have? The Holy Ghost. It was received and it is irrevocably theirs. It was a gift. It now remains to be seen what they will do with it, whether they will regard it or not. And that is true. They have been given the basic truth of the whole gospel. The just shall live by faith. Salvation is of the Lord. They have heard the truth of the Bible, which cast down the doctrines of Rome and set at naught all papal authority. They knew the truth that the church does not save. They understood the Lord's Supper. They had light on water baptism. They put out the images, truth. Why, there never was an age with any more men with so much light to shed. They had enough illumination to completely overhaul the old system or start out fresh and let God lead them, line upon line and precept upon precept. They received the truth. They waited it and heard it. They wanted it and heard it. But the question was, how did they hear it? Did they hear it to build upon, or was it the same attitude that many Greeks had, something to discuss or theorize over? Evidently, the rich word of truth was being heard in an academic manner rather than for a practical outworking. For God was demanding a change of mind concerning it. If this is the word of God, which indeed it is, then it must be obeyed. Failure to obey would bring judgment. When the guards of the sacrifice temple were found sleeping, they were beaten and their garments were burned. What shall the Lord do with those who in this age have relaxed their guard? It will come on thee as a thief in the night. Ancient Sardis was constantly harassed by bandits that would swoop down from the hills and pillage the people. Thus they knew only too well what the Spirit was saying, in that the coming of the Lord is as a thief. Vigilance and preparation alone will suffice to be ready for his coming. Now we know that this is a message for the false vine, for the coming of the Lord will be as it was in the days of Noah. The eight saved were all aware of the impending flood, and being aware were prepared and saved. But the world of the ungodly was swept away, though they daily were in contact with the righteous and heard the truth. They turned it aside until it was too late. Those completely carnal people in the ancient period typed out today the nominal Christians, who live lives are full of earthly things and take pleasure in them to such an extent that they have no desire for the spiritual, and are not all aware or nor readied for his appearing. And that's from the Sardesian Church Age. One more from the Church Age book. Revelations 2:13. I know thy works, and where thou dost dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith. And even in those days wherein... whoever that is, Antipas, was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. He says, I know thy works. These are the identical words uttered to each of the seven messengers relative to the people of God in each age, as they are spoken to the two vines, true and false. They will bring joy and gladness to the hearts of one group, but they ought to strike terror to the fear to the hearts of the other. For though we are saved by grace apart from works, true salvation will bring forth works or deeds that will please God. Amen. That's the seed. Once it sprouts, you're going to say, oh, I'm a pear, when obviously you're bearing grapes. It's everyone around you can see that it's a lie, and the only person you're fooling is yourself. Amen. In 1 John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you that he that worketh righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. If this verse means anything at all, it means that what a man does, he is. James 3:11. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Romans 6:2. How shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein? From Matthew 12:33-35. Either make the tree good for and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. Excuse me. For the tree is known by his fruits. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and out of the evil, and an evil man out of the evil of treasures bringeth forth evil things. Now if a man is born of the word, being born again, not of incorruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter 1:23, he will produce the word. Amen. The fruit or the works of his life will be a product of some kind of seed or life that is in him. His works, therefore, will be scriptural. What an indictment this truth is going to be against the Pergamian age. There stands that matchless one, and in his hand the sharp sword with the two edges, the word of God, and the word will judge us in that last day. In fact, the word is judging us even now, for it is the discerner and the thoughts of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It cuts asunder the carnal from the scriptural. From the spiritual. It makes us living epistles, read and known of men, to the glory of God. I know thy works. If a man fears that he might not please God, then let him fulfill the word. If a man wonders if he will hear those words, well done and good and faithful servant, let him fulfill the word of God in his life, and assuredly he will hear those words of praise. The word of truth has the criterion then. It is the criterion now. There isn't another standard. There isn't another plumb line. As the world is going to be judged by one, Jesus Christ Jesus, even so, it is going to be judged by the word. If a man wants to know how he is making out, let him do as James suggested. Look into the mirror of God's word. I know thy works. And he stood there with the word, examining their lives in the light of the blueprint he had laid out for them. He must have been pleased in a goodly measure, for they, like the others who had gone on before, were enduring the persecution of the unjust and still joyfully cleaving unto the Lord. Difficult though it was at times to serve the Lord, yet they served him and worshiped him in the spirit and in truth. But with the false vine it is not so. Alas, they have repudiated the life that is built upon the word. And we're now going further and further away from the truth. Their actions bore witness to the depths to which they had sank. And that's from the Pergamian church age as well. 1 Corinthians 2:13-16. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet himself judgeth no man, is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And from 65, Brother Branham says, does God change his mind? Not to be different, but you see, the question was, who does man say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas. Flesh and blood has never revealed this to you. You never learn this by going to a seminary. See, you never learn this by some man made a fair. But my Father, which in heaven, has revealed this to you. See, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. The spiritual revelation of Jesus Christ, who is the Word. Then it would be the spiritual revealed truth of the Word is exactly where the church rests. I think that's what Abel had at the beginning, a spiritual revelation, that it wasn't the fruit of the field or the works of your hands, of our hands, or so forth. It was blood, and he offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain did. We find in Abraham and Lot the same thing, in a choice, because Lot went down when the time come when the spiritual and the natural church came in a clash because of the herdsmen. They had to separate one for another. And whenever this does, it sets up a jealousy. We find out Abel, because God had received him and he did not receive Cain's beautiful big offering he had toiled so hard for, and was religious and bowed down and worshiped and so forth, done everything that Abel did, only he didn't have the revelation of what was the truth. So we find out that when God accepted Abel's revelation and his offering, it made Cain get jealous of Abel. And there was the first murder. We find out that jealousy became between the herdsmen of Abraham and Lot, and they had to separate. We find out that Moses and Korah had a clash. Also, Jesus and Judas also had a clash. And as ever, it has been the same, and so is today. The natural church and the spiritual church has a clash when they come together. Now, the natural tries to match the spiritual, always, with a carnal impersonation. But as it wasn't with Esau and Jacob, it will not work. God has his church called, named, and set aside. And in the age that she lives in, he'll reveal himself to her each and every time, just as he did in Romans, the 8th chapter, that the foreknowledge and predestination of God might stand sure. Esau and Jacob, before either boy was born, before they even had a chance to make a choice, God said, I hate Esau and I love Jacob. For he knew what was in them from the beginning, and we know. Keep that in mind. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what you mean. No matter what you say, he knows what you mean. And it always caused trouble. And the natural always tries, since Cain destroyed Abel, the natural has always tried to destroy the effects of the spiritual. We find it in the same thing today, in the very same thing today. It proves that it comes from Satan, because it's jealousy and impersonation of the truth. So we really believe that God never changes his mind about what he said. He always keeps it true. But he has a permissive will. Now, there where the trouble lays, we try to work on God's permissive will, and he will permit it. But also, if we take his permissive will, though it's not right, he will make his permissive will work out together to glorify his perfect will. Amen. That's a good quote. 1 Corinthians 3, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, and not with the meat, for there hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, and ye are not carnal, and walk as men. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man, giveth to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." Amen? That's why it's so important to have the Holy Ghost. You can hear something from Brother Branham while you're listening to a tape, or read a single verse, and it'll just be inspired to you. And you know it's right. And it produces a life that's undeniable. Amen? Does God ever change his mind about his word? Brother Branham said, "See, there was a clash. When the carnal and the spiritual meets, there is always a clash. When Judas and Jesus met, there was a clash. One, the son of God, the other one, the son of Satan. Just like Cain and Abel, there was a clash when they met. One of them was the treasurer of the church, and the other was a pastor. And as now we come in this day to the same thing again, the carnal denomination to the spiritual bride of Christ, the spiritual bride of Christ is so much different from the carnal organizations till there's no comparison in them at all. Now notice, the natural always tries to type the spiritual, but as in Jacob and Esau, it will not work. It would not. Now, when it come to doing good works, I believe that Esau actually was a better man than Jacob in the sight of man. He tried to take care of his dad. He was blind, a prophet, and all these things that he tried to do, but yet Esau didn't think about that being just carnal work. He thought he could get in by what he done, do something good for somebody, which was all right. But Jacob, his whole soul was to get the birthright. And that's what God recognized in him spiritually. Notice, and it's always caused the natural to hate the spiritual. It caused Cain to hate Abel. It caused Korah to hate Moses. It caused Judas to hate Jesus. And on it goes. It causes the natural to hate the spiritual, just as Cain at the beginning hated Abel, the one that God received the sacrifice from, and tries to destroy them. Even they try to destroy the influence. They try to destroy everything because it's nothing but jealousy. It started in Cain and proved that it was jealousy. And it's still the same thing today. When the natural, the carnal, and the spiritual meet together, it proves it's Satan. No other way, because jealousy comes from Satan. And then causes an impersonation of the truth. Somebody to try to impersonate something that isn't. They are not ordained to do. How much of that have we seen in this last days? Oh my, how much of it? So we see God does not forever change his mind about his original word. But who he calls, that's who he ordains. No one else can take that place. No one could take Moses' place. No matter how many Korahs raised up and how many Dathans, it was Moses. God had called regardless. And if the people won't walk in his perfect will, he does have a permissive will. He'll let you walk in. Notice, he permits it. All right? But he will make it work out for his glory in his perfect will. Now, if you'd like to. Amen. From Brother Branham's sermon, "The seed is not air with a shuck. Neither can the spiritual be the natural be heir with the spiritual. No more can Islam's children be heir with Isaac's children. And no more than the carnal can be heir with the spiritual. The church natural, the church spiritual. There is a church natural that these women here type, and there's a church spiritual also. So the natural church and the spiritual church cannot be heirs together. They are two different separate times, two different separate people under two different separate covenants. That's why the rapture is different and will only be for the royal seed of Abraham. It cannot come by the natural carnal seed of the church. It'll have to be the royal seed of the word of God through Abraham, the royal seed. That's why the rapture has to be first, because remember, we which are alive and remain shall not hinder or prevent those which are asleep, for the trumpet of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them together and meet the Lord in the air. Notice, and again it is written, and the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. Therefore, there they will not be heirs together. They'll not be in the rapture together. There is absolutely a church natural and a church spiritual, a church carnal and a church spiritual. Then, see here is, there is no judgment to the royal spiritual predestinated seed of Abraham, for they are predestinated to eternal life. They have accepted God's provided sacrifice, and that sacrifice which was Christ the Word. Amen. Good place to be. Hebrews 7:16, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of endless life. And from doors and a door, Brother Branham says, but there is a segregation. The bride of Christ is segregated from the rest of the churches. And that's exactly right. Church natural and the church spiritual. Church carnal, the church with the word, it always has been. Jesus came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, to him, to them, he gave power. Amen. So we want to be spiritually minded. Never put a period on God. Allow him to move freely in your lives. You know, it isn't do's and don'ts. It's not, he said this, he said that. If you're predestinated, like he said in several of those quotes, that seed will produce a life. You don't got to worry about it. All you have to do is sit under the sun, allow the word of God to water your life. It's the easiest age to live in, but yet the hardest age to live in. With the wars and the mind battles, you know, of technology and all this stuff. But you don't have to fear that. Just sit under that, let it grow. And if you're one of his, there's going to be that original vine is going to come out. And when it does, that life that Brother Branham talked about, that short, quick work, the original, it will produce. You don't got to worry about it. Amen.